Genesis chapter 24. As you're looking there, we look here at, I think we have two great examples of servants in the Old Testament. And we have Eliezer, who is Abraham's number one servant, as I like to say. And he was his top servant and was in charge of everything that Abraham had in his household. And in this chapter, Eliezer was given a task to find a wife for Abraham's son Isaac. And first of all, when I think of that, I think, what a job to have. How would you like to go have to find some your boss's son, a wife? You know, that would be quite the job. And as we read down through there, for sake of time, we won't read it, but as we read down through there, we see Eliezer is very willing and ready to do what he needs to do. Let's just read verses 14 through 20, and we see Eliezer has this great task, and we see where he starts. He starts by praying to his heavenly father. In verse number 14, it says, "And let it come to pass that the damsel to whom I shall say, let down thy pitcher, I pray thee, that I may drink, and she shall say, drink, and I will give thy camels drink also. Let the same be she that thou hast appointed for thy servant Isaac, and thereby shall I know that thou hast showed kindness unto my master." And it came to pass, before he had done speaking, that behold, Rebekah came out, who was born to Bethuel, son of Milcah, the wife of Nahor, Abraham's brother, with her pitcher upon her shoulder. And the damsel was very fair to look upon, a virgin, neither had any man known her. And she went down to the well and filled her pitcher and came up. And the servant ran to meet her and said, "Let me, I pray thee, drink a little water of thy pitcher." And she said, "Drink, my lord." And she hasted and let down her pitcher upon her hand and gave him drink. And when she had done giving him drink, she said, "I will draw water for thy camels also until they have done drinking." And she hasted and emptied her pitcher into the trough and ran again under the well to draw water and drew for all his camels. Let me just say this. Camels drink about 30 to 50 gallons of water at one time. Let's just say her jar held 5 gallons. Well, if they drank 30 gallons, or if they drank 30 gallons, it would be about 60 buckets she would have had to fill up. If they drank 50 gallons, it would have been about 100 buckets. Now, that's incredible. I always say when I read that verse, what a woman. She was quite the woman, quite the worker. But look at her attitude and her heart, her servant's heart that she had. Again, both these people are tremendous examples of servants in Scripture. Of course, we know the ultimate example in Scripture of servant is our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, who, as I think about what he did for us, he didn't have to step out of heaven and come down and give his life on the cross, but he did because he loved us so much. And every time I think about that, this whole world that we live in is wicked, and he went to the cross and he died for every sin in the past and every sin in the future. And you think of the wickedness in this old world, and think what he had to do for us, this God-man that we had that was perfect, that had to take all that wickedness on him for us because he loved us so much. Of course, that's the ultimate picture of a servant. But as we think about this, and I'll try and give you all the points here of servant here this morning, but we think of the first letter in servants, S for surrendered. Surrendered. To be a good servant, you have to be surrendered. Also, think about this. If you want to get saved in this world, to be saved, you have to surrender to what God's Word says. You can't get saved without surrendering and listening to what God's Word says and confessing our sin and realizing that we're a sinner and accepting that Jesus Christ is the only way to heaven. Our people that we deal with up north, we have to be careful when we deal with them about salvation, because what they do, they'll say, "I could walk up and go through the plan of salvation with any of them." And they would say, "Sure, I want to accept Jesus." But what they do is they add that onto what they already have. And they don't believe in just Him alone. So I have to help them to understand, this is all you need. Jesus is all you need. You don't need anything else except Jesus. So a good servant is surrendered. And I'm going to run out of time. That's okay. I'll keep going. I'll talk real fast, hopefully. Just my salvation testimony. I went forward as a young boy at the age of 5, and because my friends did. And to make a long story short, I struggled with my salvation through all my teenage years. I went to a Christian school. I grew up in a godly home, but I struggled with it because I didn't really understand. Until actually my first year of Bible college, I came back, sat through a service, wow, and salvation hit me, and I understood what salvation was at that point and got saved. Moving along, got married, met my wife at Bible college, we got married, we moved from Pennsylvania to Ohio, joined Calvary Baptist Church in 1992. We took over the teen group right away, we were involved in everything else, serving, and I was working for NAPA Auto Parts. I was a district sales manager for them for 20 years. And all during that time that I worked for NAPA and we were involved in our church, Of course, my wife is a missionary's daughter. She's an MK. She grew up in the mission field. And that was no accident that God put us together. I look back and look at how all those things worked out. But God put us together, but all during the time we're serving our church, missionaries would come to church, and the Lord started working on my heart. I made a missions trip to the north with my pastor and my father-in-law. And, of course, once you do that, you want to get called to the mission field, make a missions trip. That'll do it. And from that point on, the Lord just kept working on my heart and working on my heart. And it wasn't the part about going to the mission field. I love a challenge. I don't mind living up in the middle of nowhere. I don't have a problem with that. That's not it. It was getting up and doing this. The preaching part of it, I really said, Lord, I can't do that. When I realized that it wasn't me doing it, it was God using me and working through me, then I accepted that. But let me just say this. It was a Sunday night at our home church where our pastor brought a message on commitment. And at that point, we have four children. And I was praying during the invitation that my four children would be committed to what God had for them. And as I'm praying that during the invitation time, the Holy Spirit says, what about you? I said, well, we're committed, Lord. We're serving here in our local church. We're doing everything that you want us to do. He says, no, I have more for you. Well, I took the next day off of work, and I spent probably 3 or 4 hours just walking in the woods. And when I came to a point realizing that it wasn't me, it was God using me and allowing God to work through my life, I surrendered. I told my wife, I said, I came back and I said, well, we're going to the mission field. She says, where? I said, of course, north in the Arctic. She says, as long as it's not Africa. She didn't want to go somewhere where it was really hot, you know, so she was used to that. But, you know, I called my pastor, if you know Pastor Snow, and I said, well, we surrendered to go to the mission field. He said, I wondered when you were going to get around to that. I called my father-in-law, and he said, I wondered when you were going to get around to that. And I called Brother Morrison. He says, I wondered when you were going to get around to that. They all knew that the Lord was working on my heart. But I look back, and time is just a blur how fast. Actually, deputation took us a little while, 4 or 5 years. But, you know, we've been on the field now 5 years, and God's working. And I look how the Lord's working in our children's lives. Our oldest son and his wife are on their way to Norway. They're about 75 or 76% of their support. They're hoping to leave next year with one of our grandbabies. Our next, our son and his wife and our second grandbaby are at our home church serving, and does pipeline work. And then our daughter married, you guys know the Blacks, Rod and Debbie Black, okay? Married John Black, their son, and he's our missions office manager at our home church. And then and they have Izzy, who we just made it down in time for Izzy to be born. And then our youngest daughter, Macy, is single, and she lives with my in-laws, and she's waiting, as she says, patiently for her knight in shining armor who is wandering on a turtle in the wilderness. So, but she's 22 years old and waiting for the Lord. But you know what, folks, a good servant, as we mentioned, has got to be surrendered. And we're no different than anybody in here. We're just faithful serving in our local church. And God called us to the mission field. Let me give you the other letters here real quick. A good servant is surrendered. The letter E, a good servant endures and is also encouraging. A good servant is respectful. A good servant has the vision of his master. A good servant also is of great value. Like I said, this is my lesson, so I can put as many points in as I want. But a good servant is of great value. Then the letter A, a good servant has a good attitude. So important that we have a good attitude. Then the letter N, again, this is my lesson, so I can do what I want. The letter N is not about me. A good servant is not about me. This world is all about me. Take care of yourselves. It's all about you. No, a good servant is not about me. Then the letter T, a good servant is tenacious and holds fast and stays focused at the job at hand.